So I want to share a message today called My Name is Joseph. Would you say that with me? My name is Joseph. I'll be reading from, and our text will be from Genesis chapter 45. I'll be reading through the first 11 verses. Before I do, let me share something humorous. I heard about an old country farmer. He was taking his nephew camping for the very first time. His nephew had 5 college degrees. He was one of the smartest men alive. They set up their tent and quickly fell asleep. In the middle of the night, the farmer woke up the nephew. He said, "Look up, what do you see?" The nephew replied, "I see millions of stars." The farmer said, "I know that, but what does that tell you?" He said, "Astronomically, it tells me that there are billions of galaxies. Meteorologically, it tells me it's going to be a beautiful day. Theologically, it tells me that our God's a great creator. What does it tell you?" The farmer shook his head and said, "It tells me that somebody stole our tent." Genesis 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer restrain himself before all those that stood by him. And he cried out, "Make everyone leave." So no one stood while Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. He had a dialogue with them and some interaction. They didn't recognize him. He, of course, recognized them. And now he's going to reveal himself to his family. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." "I am Joseph." Whew. Do you remember the guy you betrayed? "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." And they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Yes. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. Yes. And he's made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all of his house, a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all of Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. For you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you and your household and all that you have, lest you come to poverty, for there are still 5 years of famine." Just skipping down a few verses to verse 26. "Now the boys have gone home. They brought a caravan of 10 carts of riches from Egypt, given by Joseph. Now they're going to interact with their father. And they told their father, saying, Joseph is still alive. He's governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. Then when they told them the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great honor we have in you speaking to us by your word every day. Anytime we open your word, your voice speaks to us. Give us today our daily bread. Anoint your servant. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do miracles today. Amen. Let revelation flow freely, powerfully. Anoint the word, anoint your people, anoint your servant in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that the Bible gives us much detail concerning Joseph's life intentionally so that we might learn and grasp so much significant kingdom understanding. Well, let's begin where this chapter begins. They're standing before Joseph, and Joseph's heart is breaking. because they don't know what he knows. And he revealed himself to them. And I just want to remind you of a couple things. My first point is this. When Jesus reveals himself to us, our lives changed for eternity. You didn't find him, he found you. No man can come to Jesus except the Father draw him. And no person can come to salvation except the Holy Spirit convict them and reveal who Christ is. And if you're saved, and if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the greatest treasure that this world can offer. You have found the greatest purpose that a human being can find. You have found the greatest joy that's available in this lifetime. When you have Jesus, you have everything. Without Jesus, you have nothing. And you need to remind yourself, David was reminding himself one day, restore to me the joy of my salvation, prophesying about what salvation would bring into the heart of believers. And I just want to remind you, in your salvation, there's joy. When you thank God for your salvation, you awaken your joy and your heart will sing, because when you have Jesus, you have everything. Though everything fall apart in your world, if you have Jesus, you have everything. Though you be disappointed by the election or the economy or by, when you have Jesus, you have everything. Don't let life trick you into being unhappy because things that you were expecting to turn out didn't turn out. Remind yourself every day, God, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for finding me. That before the foundation of the world, you called me, you chose me, you spoke out my name, you sent your son to fulfill that calling. On the cross, he bled for me, he died for me, he rose for me, and now believing in him, I receive forgiveness of my sins. I receive new life. I receive eternal life. I become a child of God. And that's the meaning of life right there. Secondly, concerning the revelation, there will come a day when your family will finally see who you really are. Don't try to prove yourself to people that don't believe in you. Live your life for God, and God will vindicate you. We waste too much time, effort to try to earn people's applause, earn people's recognition. Make God happy, and he'll take care of everything else. Serve God, and he'll help you in your world. Eventually, when you live for God, people will see who you are. They'll change their minds about you. If you're consistent and godly, they'll change their view of you. Our job is not to worry about that change. Our job is to serve God every day, to follow Christ with the whole heart. Point number two, it's significant because in this moment, everything's coming together, a convergence of understanding in Joseph's mind. And Joseph realizes that God had given him a platform to be the second most important man in the whole world. And that platform had a purpose. And that purpose was to rescue his family. But you can't help people you're angry with. Okay? So my second point is this. You know you're healed when you can help the people that have hurt you. Here they come. The jokers that sold him as a slave. That created a turmoil in his life for 13 years. It's been 20 years or so now. But for 13 years he was a slave then a prisoner. Because his older brothers, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah betrayed him, grotesquely sold him, put him in a well, sold him, told the father he died. The father spent 2 decades mourning the death of a son that was alive. And all because, and he's looking into the eyes of the man that had betrayed him. And instead of wanting to destroy them, he says, I'm going to help you guys. God gave me this platform to help you come up here with me. I'm not going to do to you what you did to me. I'm going to do to you what God called me to do. I'm called to help you, to heal you, to bless you. And he loved his family. He understood the significance of what God had given him in the favor of his life. A couple other points. God never gives up on people. God doesn't throw people away. You with me? It's hard to forgive people that bitterly, cruelly, unjustly betray you. But even when they do, God's not done in their story. God doesn't throw people away, even when they act horribly against our lives. In Luke chapter 15, there's a great story, three great parables. In the parable of the prodigal son, a young man takes his inheritance, goes to a faraway land, wastes his money. When he ran out of money, he ran out of friends. He's feeding pigs. Eventually, sin will make you serve the thing you hate. He's feeding pigs. He's so hungry, he wants to eat their food. He came to himself and said, I'm going home to daddy. His servants live better than I'm living. And he said, I'll tell my father I'm no longer worthy to be a son. Make me a slave. Make me a servant. And he begins shuffling home, diminished, his garments dirty and tattered. He's coming home, his head bowed. But when he was a great way off, the father saw him and ran down the hill and picked up his prodigal son and kissed him on the cheek over and over, the kisses of forgiveness, of acceptance, of a new beginning, of a new life. Welcome home. The church must be prepared for the greatest revival of prodigals coming back to Christ in all of history. I believe when Joseph revealed himself, it was a prophecy. I did a television program this week with Jewish Voice, and I used that scripture that God is about to reveal the Messiah, Yeshua, to the Jewish people unlike they've ever. We're going to see millions of Jewish people come to Christ. We're going to see millions of unbelievers come to Christ. God's opening the eyes of this generation. He's going to shake off deceptive beliefs and hurtful traumas that have kept people from knowing God. The prodigal came home. The father kissed him, restored his identity, restored his destiny, restored his authority, made everything right just as if he'd never gone. It is such a portrait of the kindness in God, the forgiveness of God for our lives as believers. And it's something we really have to believe. Now, here's a couple of points I want to kind of tag on to that. Joseph's assignment was to help Egypt overcome the famine for the sake of his family, to help Egypt and his family. Joseph's greatest traumas happened in his family in Egypt. His family betrayed him. Potiphar falsely accused him and put him in jail. The devil will try to steal your purpose by having you harbor unforgiveness against the very people you're called to significantly impact. And you have to overcome that, because God's anointed you to be something for your family. God's called you. God's anointed you. God's chose you. God's anointed you to be a Joseph to your family. You are the one that will break every generational curse that has ever controlled and oppressed your family. You are the one called to deliver your family from the famine they've been in. God set you before them so he could use you to heal them. Now, the only way that you can get there is through significant and continual forgiveness. Joseph is brought out at 30 years old out of prison by Pharaoh. He's elevated, given the platform like a prime minister. He's given a wife, has a son. And in Genesis 41:51, the Bible says, and Joseph called the name of his firstborn son Manasseh. Manasseh means to forget. Joseph said, for God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. In 1995, my heart was broken by a series of events, and I went into a chronic, clinical, dangerous depression. And a couple years into it, God said, Michael, would you like to be healed? I said, yes. I said, Lord, I've made a list of some people. Just kill these people and I'm going to be really well. Just New Testament style, Old Testament, I don't care. And the Lord said to me, Michael, if you will forgive the people that have hurt you, I will make you forget the pain they've caused you. And I knew he was talking about Manasseh. And I did, and God did. That's the fast forward of that story. I forgave them. God took away the pain, really deep pain. Now you have to lock into this, because you cannot be an overcomer in this life without first being a great forgiver. I think we envision overcomers as people that win significant battles and have significant accomplishments, and those are truisms about what an overcomer can be. But in this moment in life and culture in our nation, in this moment in time, overcomers are people that are not participating in the violence of anger and offense, but are forgiving people no matter who they are. And it's so important, because overcomers are forgivers. Forgivers are overcomers. And when we forgive the people that have hurt us, God makes us forget the pain they caused us. Forgiveness is the master key that unlocks any prison of pain that life will ever lock you in. Forgiveness heals. The faster we forgive, the faster we heal. Forgiveness is the only thing that will heal the brokenness of your family. Joseph was called to be a blessing to his family. The blessing could not happen without his forgiveness. Forgiveness is the only thing that will heal the brokenness of our nation. When we demand justice from God, God demands forgiveness from us. Now listen to this last sentence. Forgiveness makes justice possible. Why? It puts everything in God's hands. Unforgiveness says, I'm holding it in my hand. Forgiveness puts it all in God's hand, puts God in charge to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do it, with whoever and however he's chosen to do it. Forgive people. Make sure that you've not calibrated a complex cognitive reasoning for you to not forgive somebody. Come on, I have degrees in psychology. Counseled a lot of people, and people will tell their story, and then they'll start telling, you know, I've had it so bad. But unforgiveness keeps you being a victim. Stop waiting for someone's apology before you heal. Forgiveness heals you, even when they don't apologize. You don't need their apology to heal. You need to forgive them and you'll heal. There are some people that hurt you that will never acknowledge responsibility. So what? You can't make me hate you. You can't make me hate you. I refuse to. Okay? So forgiveness releases me from that lie, from that prison, from that pain, what God has for my life as a believer. And I want to say this over you about forgiveness, the power of it working in our lives, and something about offense and how offense can really trip us. Unhealed offense fills our heart with anger. So offense is the beginning of a hurt. I'm offended by someone, their action, their attitude, their words, their behaviors. So something inside of me is hurt by it. And when I keep offense, it metastasizes into anger. And unresolved anger fills our heart with hate. And unremoved hate fills our hearts with rage. Now, you don't want to be the person who's always angry, pretending it's because you have a just cause. No, you're just being a bad Christian. Jesus was not an angry person. Yeah, he hated the devil, he hated sin, he loved people. He's on the cross. He says, God, forgive him. While there's still nails in his hands, nails in his feet, agony, torturous, painful, all day long or all afternoon long, crucifixion. And Jesus forgave us while he's still hurt. When you can forgive people while you're still aching because of their behavior, you release heaven in your world. You release heaven into your world. Mary and I practice this when something happens in the ministry or life or whatever. We practice forgiving that day. We don't go to bed mad at each other. We don't go to bed mad at people. We don't go to bed holding offense or unforgiveness. Never. We don't. I tell people, we made a covenant, Mary and I, to never go to bed angry at each other. And that's why I look so tired all the time. Last point. Third point. Now here's what I want you to lock into, because you are the Joseph. Everybody say, my name is Joseph. Turn to your neighbor and say, my name is Joseph. It was God, Joseph said, not you who sent me here. He says it three times, back to back to back. He said, you think you did this, but God put his hand on it. You have to get over the method God transports you to the place of destiny, because sometimes it's hurtful, it's unfair or unjust, but I just want to say, you're supposed to be here. Welcome to 2021, you're supposed to be here. Welcome to Phoenix, you're supposed to be here. Welcome to your family, you're supposed to be here. Welcome to CF10, you're supposed to be here. So whatever got you here, I know it wasn't a perfect journey. No one has one. But don't miss your miracle because you're still complaining about the messiness of your journey. Joseph gives a summation in Genesis 50:20. In a great end of life verse, he's at the end of his life, he's talking to his whole family, and he says this, as for you, you meant evil against me. He uses a great Hebrew word, it means to purpose, to interweave. A picture of a weaver and a weaver's beam. To imagine, to think, to plan, to plot. You imagined, you planned, you plotted, you purposed evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, the salvation of many people alive. So God puts his hands on bad things and makes them turn out good. God puts his hands on evil things and makes them turn out good. There's nothing in your world that one touch from God can't change. So know this, don't make a conclusion when the chapter's not even over, because if it's not good yet, it only means God's not done yet. He's working in your world. So Joseph came to terms. Paul said it like this in Romans 8:28, the Holy Spirit said, we know that all things, everybody say all things, work together, synergio. We get the word synergy. They function in a cooperative nature. They work together for the good of them who love God, called according to his purpose. So God's going to make it good. He puts his hands on it. But he can't make it good until you forgive the people that made it bad. Thanks, sister. Forgive them. Let them go. Your breakthrough, it's never just about you. It's about all the people that will be blessed and encouraged because you didn't give up. Someday in your future, people will express their deep gratitude to you for not giving up today. Don't give up. Well, God's not done. How's that for a good reason? God's not done in your story. Lastly, I read the verses when the family comes home, the brothers come home, the 10 brothers. And they come and they tell Dad, Dad, Joseph's alive. And Joseph, you know, has a heart attack. His heart stood still. Listen, but when they said to him the words of Joseph, and when they showed him the carts he had sent, his spirit revived. Revival comes when someone hears the voice of Jesus speak to their heart. And when people see the carts of God's glory, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the kingdom of God come. This is so true, because stop waiting for some magical mechanism to bring revival. Revival happens through you and I. When we carry the likeness of Christ, when we show off the fruit of the Spirit. Every day I pray for all nine fruit of the Spirit, all nine gifts every day. I pray for the gift of prophecy every day. I prophesied over 100,000 people. I still ask for it every day. I want to carry it fresh and beautiful and dynamic and alive. And so Joseph, representing Christ, sent these cards and released a voice. And when the old man heard a sentence that only Joseph could have said to him, his spirit revived. Man, I've just seen that happen thousands of times. When someone is, I'm talking with someone, and I just say one little sentence that Jesus put in my heart for them. Watch them come to Christ, be hurt, be delivered from trauma, get a miracle, whatever it is. Time after time after time. And this generation deserves to have Jesus encounters. Where believers bring messages from God's heart and release it to their heart. Where we bring a healing word. There is no, Pastor, our nation is so divided, no one can fix it. Are you kidding me? God can fix it. The job of the church is to bring these carts of love. Holy Spirit, fill us with love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. Those nine virtues live in you. You activate them by thanking God for them, by standing on the promises that they're yours. God, listen, you're never more like Jesus than when you love people. Okay, let me help you. If you're a Republican, you got to love Democrats. Where are they evil? Stop it. You got to love them. Why? Jesus loves them. And you misrepresent God when you don't reveal his love to people he loves. If you're a Democrat, you got to love Republicans. If you're a whatever in between, a communist, libertarian, I don't care in. We only label people so we can have a reason to not like them. Well, I liked you until I found out who you voted for. That's it. I hope our houses in heaven are right next to each other. And every day I can wake up, good morning! The other aspect of it is this. So prophetic ministry is taking a little shot here because some prophecies haven't come to pass that were said. But just because a prophecy, someone missed it in prophecy, doesn't mean we should throw away the gift of prophecy. So you have to get this. I believe in accountability. I believe in repentance and humility. And when I miss something, I'm not afraid to say I missed it. But I'm never letting the devil steal from me the operation of that gift. Prophecy is always imperfect. Why? Because God can only work with imperfect people. The perfect ones are in heaven. The rest of us are here. And we have issues. I don't, you do. You have issues. So the gifts of the Spirit had happened in this lobby. So the last year, the last couple of years, maybe a dozen people, I used to greet visitors in the lobby. I will soon again. And whenever I get a visitor, if I feel prompt to, I will pray for them. Amen. And when I pray for them, I don't really, I prophesy over them. It's, you know, can I pray for you? You're going to get a prophecy. And can you imagine people that have visited church for the first time, don't know Jesus, falling to their knees because something was said that they know came from Jesus because no one knew it but them and him. A dozen times the last, 18 months. Boom. Dropped just like the Bible says. I didn't try to argue them in. I believe in apologetics. I believe in sharing the gospel with scripture. I believe in, but man, when you demonstrate the carts of glory, when you bring the works of Christ, and people, when people are sick and they're healed, man, That's how we bring revival. That's how we revive the brokenness of people's lives. Joseph said this, I have made peace with my past because I'm placed in the present where God wanted me. And no matter how difficult and violent my journey was, I'm just glad to be here. I'm sorry for things you've gone through that have been really hurtful, traumatic, and painful. But God sent you here. And God sent you to be a forerunner to your family, that you might pave a way through Christ, through your example, through your testimony, that you might exhibit the nature of Christ, that you might accomplish the purpose that God intended for your family. Watch what will happen. Amazing things happen. I said amazing things happen. This is so great having Dean Challenge in the house today. So I prayed over this awesome young man. He came and told me before church, and I said a bunch of times last week or whatever it was that the spirit of death had tried to claim him. He told me today he's just been announced clean from cancer. And that, that guy over there. Now, I didn't know him. He didn't know me. That's just the Lord talking to him in a way that's meaningful to him. And never, like Beautiful Mary said, never diminish something. I was, thinking, visiting our children in Laguna Beach, and I'm praying for this girl on the street, and I said, I see a sunflower. She started weeping. A sunflower prophecy. She said, oh my God, that's my favorite flower. That's like Jesus handing me a flower right now. I thought, wow. That's my first sunflower prophecy. It was so meaningful to her because it represented a loving God giving her her heart's desire. There's so many things God can do. He will lead you. He'll talk to you about your children. The battles you're facing now are going to pave a way for your family to come into greater victories. Your faith and your steadfast trust in God is going to make such a difference. You're anointed to be a Joseph to your family. You are the one that will break every curse, generational curse, that has ever controlled and oppressed your family. You are the one that will break off the spirit of famine and bring your family into the provision of God. God's anointed you for this time. God's chosen you for this time. God's called out your name for this time. God's positioned you and given you wherever you're at. He's given you this moment. And don't worry about what has not happened yet. Just keep doing your thing with Jesus and watch everything he's promised come into your world. Hey, thanks for listening to me today. Would you stand to your feet, please?